Hey guys, it's our 50th episode.
Yeah.
We're
Ooh.
all dressed up.
Hey.
Gonna open this in real time.
Is it really our 50th?
Yeah, it's our 50th
My
episode.
gosh.
We're over the hill
Here's to
now.
50 more.
I don't think
We're gonna do
me and
another.
Ed have been in all 50, though. That's the
Right.
thing.
Yeah.
Well, KP hasn't been in all 50 either.
Really? Oh, that's
Only
true.
original. That is
I haven't been to all
true.
50.
You haven't,
So
yeah.
Angela's 50.
Angela's 50th
Over the
episode.
hill. How do I
Over
open
the
this, you
hill.
guys? What do I do? You
You
gotta take,
gotta
oh, you have
the
to untwist
twist. You
it?
gotta twist.
Twist it? I know.
You
I
gotta
got
twist all the
then,
sides
and then
until
what
it
do you
oh,
pops.
I
Then
get
you
it.
loop de loop, and then you pull.
Noopdily loop, scoopity scoop.
And then, like, just do that.
Yep.
Okay. Got it. Then I have to pop this
Yep.
yep
in front of
careful
Oh my gosh, we're doing this live. Hold
you
on.
can actually
I'm
you can
gonna.
yeah. hold
Yeah.
you can hold the cork like as you're opening it, like it doesn't have to like pop out, but
And
wait, no
don't.
one say anything. If it pops, I want it on Angela's feed. Hold up.
Wait. This
I'm
has been
muting. I'm
on
muting.
the fridge for like 2 years. No. Okay. We're getting there. Yay, we got it.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh, that was anticlimactic. Just
I
like this
know.
50 is. No, I was kidding. No.
That's been in the fridge for 2 years? 2 years?
Yeah. Does it expire? Will I die?
It, you won't
Expire.
die. It just might
Not
not
that.
taste as good.
If I die, this will be a great way to go
All
out.
right. We
All right,
choosing?
guys. Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, okay. Hey guys, welcome back to Cuenta Cuenta Podcast. This is Angela.
It's your girl Tessa.
What's up, guys? It's Ed.
And this is KP.
What's Tessa drinking? We'll never
Cool.
know.
Like the
It's actually
disclaimer.
pretty good. Not
I've
bad.
got a lot of
Oh.
beverages. I've got this. I've got some
Oh, this tastes like
tea.
med. This tastes like medicine, dude.
It burns, right?
Ooh,
What are you drinking?
it's like
It's Japanese
oh,
whiskey.
yeah, I'm
Oh, what
drinking
kind?
Japanese whiskey right
Suntory.
there.
Suntory.
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 I knew
Suntory whiskey.
it. I
It's just
knew it.
so strong.
Strong.
It's like hits like your sinuses, dude. Ooh, it's like
It's
right
like
here.
right here. It just hits all of this
Your data
area.
boy's not used to, it's not Japanese.
Oh, hindi. Hindi po.
Oh, I watched
Japanese.
the well, most of it. I had to stop, but I watched most of 14 actually.
Oh yeah. Well, we have to thank
Yeah.
KP for it because I was like, whatever KP says, I will do it.
Okay. Well, here's kind of my luck. I didn't finish the whole thing, but I finished most of it. Here's my hot take on it.
Oh.
I really like it. Like, I really
That's a
like it.
hot take.
I really like the movie. I like how you really doubled down on the Zoom meeting formats in some of the scenes. Because I think it was smart in a artistic way. Because there were some of I remember even like the first scene where it's like it's all Zoom meeting and I kept yelling to myself. I was like, scene change, I want a scene change, I want a scene change. And then after 5 minutes, I was like, but wait a minute, this is quarantine. You can't change the scene.
There is no scene
Like it
to
was
change to.
like a very artistic way of saying you are trapped with everyone else. So you like if you got through the first 5 minutes of the movie, you're like, okay, I'm committed to relive quarantine with everyone else in this movie. So I get it. And it was really ballsy, but like after 5 minutes or like, okay, I'm committed. And what was really, and I told Angela this too, was like, freaking that, like, you got like, there was some really good acting
Yeah,
in
there are
this
a lot of
movie.
good
It was
actors.
so good. And I think that that's the thing that really, I mean, I hate to use the word, but it really saves the movie because, like, you felt the realism in it while you were trapped in it. Which like there's a lot of suspension of disbelief that you have to adopt in order to like have this movie be successful and the format be successful. And if it wasn't for the acting, yeah, it would just like, if you knew they were acting, as like basically what I would say. It's like if you knew that it was all an act and you can kind of feel that it was generic, then you wouldn't commit. But the fact is, like, everyone felt like, no, this is like, it felt, you felt the realism of it. And then that's what saves the movie, I think.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Thanks for watching and thanks for the feedback. Can I reseal it?
No. Is it, do you not have Prosecco?
But I never like had like control of the bottle.
You cannot reseal it. You can put like cling wrap on the top of it, and that might save it for like half a day.
I'm an alcoholic for the next couple of days.
There we go.
Good luck.
Commit, Angela. Commit.
You know how they make like those little like wine stopper things with like the makeshift cork. It's like not a real cork. It's like a plastic.
I don't think she has. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
The thing that goes on the thing with the dingle hopper and the
Tessa, one time you're gonna have one of these.
Hey, let's go. Are you excited, Tessa? Has the reality set in yet?
Well, I actually talked to Nate, the runner of the competition, and he was like, yeah, it's just for a weekend. He was like, if you want to come in Thursday, you can, but it's just going to be for the weekend. And again, but I don't know, because like he really was just like, yeah, it's going to be easy peasy. You know, one thing that he did say was cool, but like I'm not really counting on. He was like, yeah, our goal is like to give proceeds back to the contestants. So I was like, oh, like there's potential for me to actually make money on this. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, interesting. We shall see. I just want to go to the beach. Just any excuse to be at the beach.
That is the attitude that we're gonna have.
Oh, you know that what was really sweet though is they announced me on Instagram. Lucky number 7. Yeah. And I don't know why, but like I didn't think people were really gonna be interested or like pay attention, at least like my followers. It was like a multi-post collab. A lot of people were like, oh my gosh, like congratulations, like I'm so excited. And I was like, in my head I was like, I haven't done anything yet, but thank you.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, no, it is. I think just like putting yourself out there and doing it. And I think the thing about it is like the candidates were screened. Like apparently he's been getting a lot of candidates as well, but he hasn't like necessarily let everyone in. So I think that's kind of cool too. I feel cool. But there's some girls, I was reading the bios, there's some girls that have been doing this for like years. So
that's why you need a trainer.
You're gonna kick their butt.
Yeah.
Doing it for years for what? To get schooled by Tessa. Yeah, we outside. Yeah,
first time.
Look, if Sandra Bullock, the police officer and private investigator. An
FBI agent.
FBI agent, my bad.
I need to rewatch FBI that movie.
What does FBI stand for?
Federal Bureau Investigator.
No.
No. Oops.
It's
a male body inspector.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I knew the F boy would know that acronym.
Exactly. It's the Federal Bureau of Intelligence.
Of intelligence.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good. That's good to know.
That's it.
I like the second one.
I have been just wanting, thinking, pondering on this wild, crazy story that Ed has been leaving us hanging on for the last like 2 weeks. So I kind of want to know what's up.
I haven't been leaving anyone hanging, first of all, okay?
It is now time for Ed's story.
Oh, once upon a time, a land far away known as Kentucky. back in like December, November? November. Mm-hmm. November, December, I got booked for a gig in Kentucky. And it's for like a company that I've been working with a couple times. They do a lot of like liquor videos or liqueur or like anything that has to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so they flew me out to Kentucky. Which was dope. I got my rate for the day. I got a half day rate for travel. It was so dope. They like even rented out equipment for me. They took care of me. And then but yeah, so we go to Kentucky. None of us know our like flight information or anything. They just sent us a text saying that, okay, your flight's at this time and it's here and it's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so how do I get my boarding pass mm-hmm. with just a text message? And luckily the teller like there just like did some magic and put my like ID into the system and then found the ticket. Like I was there for like 20 minutes just waiting. And I was just like, okay, good thing I showed up 4 hours early. Because I'm definitely very not Filipino. That person. Yeah, no, I'm not that person. Mm. So my girlfriend will tell you that I missed my flight like twice because I was just like, yeah, it's okay. I'll just leave at like 30 minutes before the flight. And I'll just get there 30 minutes before the flight. It's fine. I don't want to wait in the lobby for forever.
Who taught you how to fight?
Definitely not a Filipino.
Yeah, exactly. Filipinos would be like, you got to be there 6 hours early on the day before.
That's the day before.
You have to have five by like buying boxes. Friggin'.
You got to get cleared by customs first. That's why you have to show up so early.
That's just on domestic flights.
Yeah.
That's just the domestic flights. Facts.
Not my joke.
But so anyways, so we get there and it turns out, right, they finally send me like the run of show. And I was like, so I didn't need to get here until tomorrow. And then on top of that, I could leave also tomorrow. But I'm staying for the whole like 3 days that they have me, or 2 days that they have me there, plus the two travel days. So it's like 4 days in total. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, bro, I could have left like tomorrow and then like flew back to New York that same day. And I was like, why did you guys want to do this? But I was like, whatever, it's fine.
I can
it's
tell not, you why, but
right,
yeah,
it's not, I was like, it's not my money, that's fine. That and like mm-hmm. I'm sure like booking everyone at the same time was a lot easier than having me do my own thing. Mm-hmm. That and like we were like an hour away from frick, what's the capital of Kentucky?
Tennessee. No, that's a state.
Tennessee.
No.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh no.
Fried
chicken.
So it's Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, like the Lawrence is from.
Yeah, oh, Lawrence. Yeah. So we're like an hour away from the place that we're flying into. So I'm sure that also like had to do with like scheduling.
Oh, it's Frankfurt.
Stuff like that.
Wait.
Frankfurt
is Germany, is it not?
It's just Kentucky capital.
Anyways, so one of the major cities is Louisville, right? I don't know anything about Kentucky, bro. Leave me alone. So we go, right? And the first day we just kind of scout. We go eat at this distillery because that's like one of the only places to eat there. And like we get like barbecue, we get like smoked chicken wings and like all these stuff. It looks really good, tastes really good. On our way back, we were like, oh, should we just like get an Uber? And like the bus that took us to like go eat was like, oh, like it's only like a 10-minute walk. And so us New Yorkers were like, yeah, we can walk this. There are no sidewalks from where we're going to our we're not even staying in a hotel, we're staying in a motel, but the motel's cute. And so we're walking along the road and I'm literally like, bro, people think we're crazy right now. There's no way. Because people are stopping and slowing down to look at us and then driving away. And I'm just like, what's happening? And yeah. And so we get to this one part of the road where it's like, it just kind of cuts off and you can kind of like fall into this giant ravine. And luckily someone had like their cell phone light on so we could see it. But anyways, so at the motel that we're staying at, they do like s'mores and stuff at night for all the guests. Aww. But when we all got
this
there,
is a
we were
cute
all
motel.
Like, yeah. We were all like tired, so we like didn't go out. But I heard the lady like making the s'mores campfire and stuff, and I was like, oh no,
aww.
Like no one's coming out. I'm sorry. Anyways, aww. So the whole time, right? We're shooting at this distillery. We get there, and people start giving us like these like looks, And like, I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. It's just because like we're like New Yorkers, like they're like, oh, they're these people with a bunch of camera equipment, whatever, whatever have you, right? And I'm like, I'm kind of used to that in like smaller like areas that aren't familiar with like shooting and stuff like that. Like we get that a lot in like when I flew to Florida to film and stuff like that. But it was more like they didn't like us. Because like, so what I was doing that day was like just a ton of like interviews with the they call them the master distiller, like their head of marketing, and then some other really, really famous like bartender from that area. And like they would not be quiet downstairs at all. And we were just like, bro, like this is your boss's boss up here that we are filming, and you guys don't want to be quiet. So like we're going downstairs, they're talking to him, they're like, hey, you know, like we're not asking you to be quiet, but like can you keep it down? We're like filming upstairs. Whatever the producers say to make people stop doing things, they're doing that stuff. And the girls are like, oh, well, we can't do that because like we're dealing with customers. And it's like you look around the store and there's nobody there. And they're just like laughing their asses off. And we're just like, what customers? And they're like, oh, they're cust they just left right now, but like they were here earlier. And we were just like, I heard your whole conversation. You were talking about like this underwear that you bought. Like, you don't know. I was like, you're not talking to customers about your underwear, bro. Get out of here. And then so we just let them be or whatever. And then one of the people gets an email from their manager being like, you can't tell my like you can't tell my workers to be quiet.
Oh my gosh.
Like, is this video not for you? Is this for us? Is this for us? Then okay, that's fine. If this is for you, then do what we say. This is your video. And so like we just had to like work with them or whatever, but it was like really annoying because I was just like, bro, like who the fuck? Who the fuck? And so that day kind of went how it went. And like they were trying really hard to get specific shots because the company didn't want to showcase their giant bar, like their wall of like bottles behind the bar, because I think it was that we're doing a video for a specific brand from that company, and there were multiple brands behind the bar from that the company also owned, which I was just like, bro, what? Like everyone knows that these are your labels, so like why does it matter? But anyways, it's not my that's not my thing. I don't know. But yeah, so as we're shooting, I like they have this giant like my mom called it a curio. I don't know if it's something else, like a display case. So they had this giant display case with all these like fancy bottles in them. And I was like, huh, that one looks familiar. And so one of the guys we were interviewing was like, oh, that looks familiar to you? And I was like, yeah, I think I have it. He looks at me like this. He's like, hey, you don't have that. And I was like, I think I do. And he was like, why would you have that? And I was like, it was a gift from my boss of like a long time ago. And he was like, yeah, no. Look this bottle up. And so I looked up the bottle. The bottle is $2,000. That's a $2,000 bottle. And so he was like, you
Whoa.
don't have this bottle. And I was like,
That's discrimination.
I'm text I texted away and I was like, hey, can you take a picture of the bottle that's on the floor of the
Yeah.
kitchen right now? And
I
she was
bet
like,
money I got that bottle.
so she took a picture and I was like, okay, can you like pick that bottle up and put it on the table so it doesn't look disrespectful? And then take the picture again. Okay, so this is the bottle. I don't know if you know anything about whiskey, but this is a 13-year-old bottle. And what we were filming was it was called Heaven Hills. Was the distillery, and they specialize in bottled and bond. So basically, or is it barrel and bond? Something like that. And basically, what it is like they put their whiskey in a barrel, and that barrel gets put into like a CD account where you can't touch it for X amount of years, so that it's like as pure as like whatever, and have you and firm. I don't know, dude. I wasn't obviously. I was not listening to what was being interviewed. Because all I need to do is make sure it's clean audio. But anyways, so yeah, so I had the bottle and I showed it to him. And I was like, this is it, right? He was just like, how did you get this box? Oh my god. What the hell? And so he was like, oh, can I come try this box?
Because he hadn't even drank it. Oh my gosh. Was it poté?
And that's what I'm drinking now. Yes, he is. He is.
Yeah, that made sense.
Such a serve.
And so I was just like, I was like, oh snap, I have to go message my old boss and be like, thank you so much for this bottle. Because when he gave it to me, I was like, oh yeah, I love whiskey. Thanks. And then he was like, oh, yeah, it's a pretty good bottle. And I was like, oh, okay, awesome. I'll go try it.
So like yeah. you thought back about it and was like, oh, that's yeah, why
like,
he's.
I was like, so he, that and then, okay, I'm a dummy.
Wait, so he just gave out like $2,000 bottles.
Yeah, I think good on your boss. Yeah, was just $2,000. It's like,
was he rich?
He was rich.
He was rich.
Yeah,
okay.
He was rich. So at the time I was caring for like a special needs kid.
Oh, okay.
And like the family was pretty well off, and I was kind of more like managing the entire household, so I think they just really appreciated it and got me this. But I think at the time it wasn't that expensive, because he said the prices rose because the person who's named after that, the namesake of the bottle, the person whose name, anyways, the person died recently.
That makes
due
sense.
To like a pretty bad health issue, and so now the bottle price has gone up.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was still expensive though. When
I'm sure it was. Yeah. And so yeah. So there's that. So okay. So.
Ooh, that was a good little nugget there. Yeah. I like that.
And so as we were filming, right, the people on the marketing team, there was one person. Okay. As people, they were very kind to us, telling us what they wanted. They were not realistic. Mm-hmm. So they were asking for a lot of shots, and we were just like, I mean, we can try. And if you know anything about like filming, that means no, we can't do that. But we're gonna go ahead and do that because you're asking for it, but you're wasting a lot of my time right
now. Yeah.
And so we did the okay, we'll try. Okay. So actually, okay, so we did a lot of okay, we'll try. And then our DP and like our second camera, like they were just like wizards, and they made it work, and it all kind of just worked out. So they got what they wanted. But it was like kind of like frustrating for them. And I was like, for me, I was just like, well, I don't really care because I don't care. But anyways, that the next day, the way that everything was set up, it's like I had like one interview all the way at the end, and it wasn't even an interview. It was more like them walking, kind of like chit-chatting, because we were gonna be in the actual like distillery house where they keep all the barrels, and then they were gonna break open the barrel and taste the whiskey and stuff like that. And so that wasn't until like 4 o'clock, like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And our day started at 7.
Oh.
So what am I doing the whole time? I'm drinking. Because where are we? We're in a distillery. And
they just have it, I'm sure.
They have it. And yeah. I was just like, yeah, can I get a coffee? And she's like, you want a coffee with whiskey? Bourbon? And I was like, bourbon. Bourbon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The bourbon. Do you have oat milk? No. Okay. Bourbon. Drown it out with the bourbon. And so I start the morning drinking bourbon coffee. I had a bourbon coffee coming from the motel, because I bought one at like the little, there was like this cute little town that we like walked around in after work the first day. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a little like, what's that? Like a little Hallmark special where like this girl comes home for the holidays and she falls
like a Lifetime movie.
Small town vibes. Yeah.
And so, so I got a bourbon coffee in like a can. I was drinking that on the way over. And so I'm buzzing. Like beehive from Winnie the Pooh type buzzing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, yeah, dude, like whatever you want. You need me to move the light. I'll move the light, bro. I'm not a grip. I'm not an electric. Don't let me touch your lights. But I'm moving the lights and stuff, and they're really appreciated. But like, so we're on this shot for like 3 hours, literally trying to light it.
The same shot?
Yeah, this one shot. They literally want this one hero shot of the bottle, like with everything and all the lights and stuff. But it's so hard because the bottle is cylindrical, or like it's more like bubbly. So it's like you can see 360 everything in the camera. And so they're trying really hard to fix it, whatever, whatever. So we're running really short on time. They're rushing me to like mic people. And I'm just like, yeah, mic. Uh-huh. I can do that. I can mic this for a song. No worries. Gotcha, bro. And so we go in to the distillery. We're doing the walking shot, and there's no sound yet. But then as soon as they get like the stills of the walking and like the really zoomed in, whatever, they're like, all right, we're gonna run sound. I'm like, okay, bet. And so I get everybody like I get all the levels right, and I'm just like, all right, cool, rolling, and we're going. And like they're doing this walk, and it's like this hero shot. They got like the big like hammer behind them. They're gonna crack open the barrel. It's all four of them. It's like dusty, like, you know, it's the hero shot. And so so they walk up to the barrel, and they're like, all right, we're gonna do it. And they hit the barrel, they like crack it open, they take the swig, and like everybody gets to taste it. They talk about it. As they're talking about it, there's like the meat and potatoes of the whole thing. This is the only reason we're here, like in this area. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, everyone's kind of like cheering. They're like, yeah, we did it. And I'm just like, we're not done. Like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
And so like they, like everybody, like all the marketing people just start talking. They're like, okay, yeah, now let's do this and this and this. And I'm like picking them all up. And I'm just like, so I'm just like, hey, is this part supposed to be silent? And I'm like calling around the corner, because I'm like tucked in, like in between barrels, like this, like I'm tucked in between barrels, holding the drum mic. And I'm just like, so I peep my head out. I'm like, hey, is this supposed to be silent? And then they're like, no. And I was like, oh, because you guys are talking, and I'm supposed to be running sound, and I can hear you. Mm-hmm. And then everyone shuts the fuck up, and I'm like, yes. And so the DP just starts like dying. He was like, you are wild. Because everyone's been like super professional on set, and that is not something you say to people on set normally.
But they listen to you. That's crazy. Yeah.
And so yeah. So then the DP was like, "You got balls, and I respect you, and I'm only calling you from now on."
Aww.
Yeah, and that was my experience in Kentucky.
Very nice.
Very classy.
Also very very poignant to have a story about alcohol on our 50th. As we drink alcohol.
Yeah, I felt meta. Like Angela made that possible.
No,
she was just
Angela.
Like, no, stars don't talk about that story because I have something in mind.
Yeah, and I plan on drinking. We taking another swig? Okay.
Cheers.
Yay. Yeah, cheers.
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 Ah!
Here's to 50 more.
50 more.
Then 50 more. And then also, 50 I like, more.
We're going to be like in the nursing homes. Like, did I tell you about that time?
I'm telling you about that time that
the nurse,
that girl in room 303. I was going to say 304. That doesn't make sense. That that 68-year-old in 304 went into my room.
Did I tell you about Sally? Sally. Oh,
you told us about Sally.
Oh, Sally.
Oh man, I must have forgot.
Yeah, and we have like Alzheimer's, so we say the same story over and over again.
We just like, it's like season 20, but it's like downloaded, like it's uploaded 5 times.
Angela's like the edit, and Angela accidentally keeps all the stuff she meant to edit out.
Oh,
and
no.
then edits out everything else.
That'd be funny.
That's a podcast, right?
That's a podcast.
Wait, I was going to ask you guys if you guys know what this is, because this is the first time I've used this before.
Is that a throat spray? Is it is it the nose thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nose thing?
Yeah, it's like.
It's very Filipino. Yeah. I'd never seen these before.
It's like a Vicks stick, right?
Yeah.
It's like Vicks.
It's Poi Cheyenne brand. Ooh. Mark II. Yeah, I had a cold over the new year. And my mom, this is supposed to be for her, but I was like shoving it all up in my nose, and she was like, I don't really want that back now, so you can it.
Your mom doesn't like sharing nose innards with you? That's
true. She has like 2 others, so it's okay.
Oh, well.
Did you guys ever have that, like, it's like a small bottle and it has like a jasmine on it, and then you can like dab it on your temples if you have a headache, or like under your nose if you have a
I've heard
it has
about
a jasmine on it.
Yeah, like a jasmine flower.
A flower. Hmm.
And it's like really small. It's like liquidy, but you can like dab it and you'll feel better. Bottle? It like cures everything.
It cures everything.
No, I think it's like a darkish label, but it's like a clear liquid.
Mm.
It smells very strong.
Sounds like Vicks.
Mm.
It might be, was Vicks liquid? I'm like, when I think of Vicks, oh no, that's Vaseline. It might have been Vicks, but like a Filipino brand.
Maybe. That sounds cool though. I remember when I would get sick, I would go to my uncle's house to get Healot. You guys know what Healot is?
Oh yeah, I had a Healot massage one time.
Yeah. And like he had this like rose inside like a baby oil thing. And then he would take the baby oil and then like he would like murmur stuff as he's like massaging my back and like making me do stuff. Yeah. I found out the other day that meant witch doctor. So my uncle was a witch doctor.
I feel like we vaguely had this conversation.
Vaguely.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
But I did not get the murmurs when I got the Healot massage. Oh. It was just the massage part. At least I didn't hear any murmurs.
Maybe they said it in their head.
No, maybe, but I think the Hilo was more, it's the banana leaves, right?
He didn't use banana leaves on me.
Oh, that was the whole part. That was the whole reason why it cost extra. I think they saw an American girl and they scammed me.
I think you're fine. I think I think whatever you got was what it was.
No,
supposed
it
to
was
be.
It was a very good massage though. So cheap.
I'm enjoying Angela slowly leaving the bit of being like dressed up all fancy.
I know, like I'm just so like uncomfortable. Like I just want to like
halfway through
Ed's story, she's just like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, that was
and then now I saw her like reaching for like a blanket or something. So I was like, are we done with the bit? I was like, I guess we're done with the bit.
Yeah, that's I kind of want to be covered in my blanket.
I'm wearing a bra. I can't
outfit looks so good. I just draped mine around my shoulders. I'm still with you guys. Okay.
Yeah, I think Ed has the best outfit.
Yeah, Ed has the best outfit.
I like that. Yeah.
KP has a collared shirt on. Crazy.
It's actually a barong too, but you can't see the pattern.
Oh, is it?
I knew it was a barong.
Yeah. You can't. It's because it's all white. So yeah. it's just like the light is not conducive to the pattern. Also, like it's like super last minute, so I didn't get to like steam it or iron it. So it's like all. But yeah, okay. Like you can see like
I see
pattern.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit of patterns.
It's like freaking like I don't know what it is. I don't want to say it's like wheat because I don't think they grew. There's no wheat in like the Philippines, right?
Yeah,
but it's some kind of like wheat type tree.
Rice.
Maybe it's rice doesn't grow that long, does it? I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know.
We don't know capital of states. We don't know what rice looks like.
I don't know. We don't know what rice looks like.
It failed.
I don't know.
Angela said, stop talking.
She was like, I'm going to use my Google Drive.
Angela said, okay, here we go.
Tianai, what is your ultimate goal in life? My ultimate goal in my life is to achieve my goals.
Is what are your goals?
Is to achieve.
My ultimate goal is to achieve them.
No, you're right.
She's not wrong.
She ate. Yeah, she full.
That girl lives outside, dude.
She ate.
She lives outside.
Stay outside.
She stays outside.
You belong outside.
Did you see who? Never mind. I was going to do the whole Joe Coy thing.
He did not do well. Let's talk about that.
Okay. I know y'all watched it, right?
I did not watch it, but I heard a lot of things.
I watched it.
I've seen clips.
So KP, if you watched it, give us your insight then.
Okay. To preface, KP isn't necessarily a Joe Coy fan.
But he doesn't wish badness
on Joe Coy.
Yeah, if this ever just like, you know, like me not
solidify.
Being a Joe Coy fan solidifies us never interviewing Joe Coy, well, whatever.
Oh no.
But I am not a fan of his comedy. I think if people call him a Filipino comic, I don't think he is one. I don't think his comedy is necessarily Filipino. I can go on.
You've said this before to us, where you've said like, Joe Coy is a more so a comic that happens to be Filipino.
All that being said, like, and according to social media and some of my friends that have known, like, that have pointed out like this about Joe Coy's social media, like, he wanted to bring his brand of comedy to the Golden Globes. So I think one of you asked, I was like, so how is Joe Coy? And he was Joe Coy. That's how I was like, I can't think of a better way to describe like how he did in the Golden Globes. It's like he was Joe Coying it. Yeah. Personally, my only gripe, I think some people, I've talked to some people about it and they've, I don't want to say agreed, but if they didn't agree, they understood what I meant. Mm. I think my only gripe is the fact that like in the middle of his set, he just started blaming like
the writers.
Yeah. So he would.
Oh, like, in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, he said live? It's like, I'm paraphrasing, but basically what he said is just like, yo, like, you know, I'm a comedian. I write my own jokes. I have writers the writers are also writing jokes. If you laugh, it's me. If you didn't laugh, it was the writers. Like, it's paraphrase, but that's what he basically said.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a joke, but then like he kept going back to it. And I was just like, I wouldn't even mind it if he bombed, which I mean, technically that's kind of what was happening. And he did. Yeah. So I wouldn't have minded if he bombed. It's fine because it's like not, it's like all you're doing is you're just doing like 10 to 15 minute sets just to warm up the crowd for the rest of the night. So it's more or less okay, even if like good comedians bomb. I think, again, talking to my friends, like they knew a couple of other Golden Globes. They even said like people like David Letterman bombed, like the one time that he did the Golden Globes. I was like, that's fine. It's whatever. Because it's like, again, it's not a comic show. It's an award show with a comic in it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So if you bomb, you bomb. My thing was just like, that didn't sit well for me when he was just started to blame the writers. If that was part of it, that was part of his set to blame the writers too. That's a bad joke. Like,
yeah.
Oh, and then the other boobies joke. The boobies joke was weird.
Mm. Oh, I didn't see. Oh yeah,
I heard about the boobies joke.
The boobies joke was basically like Oppenheimer. He was talking about the prestige of Oppenheimer.
Yes.
And it's up against Barbie, a plastic doll with big boobies. Yeah.
I was very like, all right, lowbrow. Like, yeah,
it would have worked in like the 90s,
right?
It's a bit too low. Like, it's lower. It's lower than the social climate, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. Also, but, I just kind of want to. I do want to know who his writers are, though, because I'm kind of like. Well, I know at one point he just started riffing.
Yeah. If it's the Globe writers. Like, if you watch the rest of the night, a lot of the presentations were really good and very funny. Mm. There were a lot of really good couplings and groups, like, on stage.
Yeah.
They were funny, they were poignant, they finished, and they just gave the award. I'm like, that's perfect.
Right.
And there were some really good segments like that, like the Will Ferrell one was really good. Simu Liu. And I forgot the other person's name. But I like their joke because their joke was basically, it's like, their joke was, hey, you know how it's really good parts in Hollywood? And they're like white male parts. And then they just started describing these really weird parts. Like, oh, out of luck, drunken.
Yeah, like everyone.
Drunken white male. Yeah, alcoholic white male that picks himself up and coaches a basketball team, or drunken white male that picks himself up and does this. And I was like, that's not untrue. I think one of them was even just like, I think that was like Ben Affleck. Like a couple of years ago, he was an alcoholic white male that coaches a basketball team. It was based on a true story. I'm like, yeah.
I love Ben Affleck.
Yeah, alcoholic white males have they have a lot of really good parts in Hollywood. It was a good joke. It was a really good joke. Plus, like, the writers and whoever was doing casting, they made it a point to put two people of color to do that joke.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's pretty good. I feel like it probably also was like it probably also landed a lot better because it contrasted so differently from Jokoi.
True.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I think if he just bombed, it would have been like, oh, that sucks. But yeah, at least we finally got somebody up there. But to bomb in that way, it was like, damn, bro, you can just take the bomb. And you can just jump on it and then be okay with bombing.
I would have
really
like...
hated the boobies joke, because that's the only one I really knew of. And it was all over my feed.
Did you hear the Taylor Swift one?
No.
It was like, oh yeah, what's the difference? Or like, that's the difference between the NFL and the Golden Globes. Less screen time for Taylor Swift. I was like, oh, that's okay. I think the audience that
I don't think it was really about like making fun of Taylor Swift. I just think it was like, because the NFL does show a lot of Taylor Swift for like no reason. It was her reaction that made people were like, oh my god, like Taylor is hurt, we must save our queen, like all that shit.
It's like, so, it's a freaking joke. It's fine. That one was like, there were even a couple of jokes that landed pretty well. Again, like, I think if he just didn't throw the writers under the bus, it would have been okay. Fine. Yeah. It would have been like a semi-bomb.
He sensed that like people were not like with him, so he got like let me just say something.
He got upset about it.
I don't think he does well under pressure. I don't think
that might be it.
One of those comics that does that. Ooh. I still think the best Golden Globes host was Ricky Gervais. Like, I just loved how he like roasted everyone in there. Because it is a silly night. Like, you're just like, all these rich people are just like congratulating themselves. Like, they need to learn how to laugh at themselves. Like, girl, there's a genocide going on. Please.
Right. Right. Facts.
Yeah. The self-awareness of it. Yeah.
Speaking, I'm going to pivot, but speaking of comedians who are not doing well. That Matt Rife special on Netflix.
Yeah.
What is he about? I've heard his name, but I never.
I'm so angry by it because I genuinely liked Matt Rife. Like, I did. I thought he looked kind of funny, if I'm being honest. And that's his whole thing. And I actually really liked his comedy because his comedy was like so confident. He was like, I am what I am. He would say like jokes that were kind of like pushing the boundaries, but they didn't like alienate like the audience. So he does like a lot of MILF jokes. He does like a lot of crowd work. And like, you know, if you're at like a Matt Rife show and like he's doing crowd work, then you're going to get picked on. And that's it for like any comedy show. It's like you go and you want to kind of get picked on. And he does it. He's very quick too with like his comebacks, which was something that I was like, okay, yeah, like this guy's funny. But with the Netflix special, I didn't even watch it just because of all the shit that I saw on TikTok from the clips. Was he basically alienated his entire female audience. And he's basically admitted, like publicly admitted, that he doesn't want a female audience. He's very upset that he has a female audience. And he thinks he only has a female audience because of his looks, which like may or may not be true. But there's also this rumor that he also got surgery so that he would be more attractive and therefore have a bigger fan base. But anyway, he starts off the special with a domestic violence joke, like against women. Like, that's the very first like set that he did. And then his apology to that was like, if I've offended anyone, please click this link, da 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 da. And it was a link of like a special needs helmet, like for people who have special needs to wear. So it was just like, wow. I was like, you are not doing well.
He sounds like a comedian that just like relies on like the shock factor. Like, that's how he gets, you know.
He wasn't before. And that was like the thing. I feel like that's why it was like so like everyone was so not taken aback, but kind of like surprised by it. And that's why there's so much buzz about it. There was so much buzz about it because it was like his comedy. At least the one that the ones that made it on TikTok, it was like good. It was like actually funny jokes. He was actually talking about things that people could relate to, and like his crowd work was actually like, okay, oh, you're this person. Well, okay, well, here's this about you, and it's like he would read people for filth. on stage, and it was great. And he was like very real, and that's why people like liked it, because it was, he was real, he was cute. But he like knew that he was cute, and so it was like, okay, like I get it. But
and then like, he was like, mad and, like, that he and that was
wasn't
cute.
And that wasn't his thing. It was just like, okay, well, you know, I used to look ugly, so then there's that. And then all of a sudden now it's like, okay, well, all of his fan base came from TikTok, which is a very like everything is face, everything is like serving or giving, and like it's all about appearances and aesthetics. So it's like, oh, if you create your fan base off of TikTok, then it's like, of course, everything has to be an aesthetic. And because of that, it's like his, the majority of his following was female. And then he was just like, oh, well, I think what I heard a lot of other comics talking about was that he felt like he wasn't getting like respect because the other comics thought that like, oh, well, the only reason you're popular is because of women from TikTok. And not because other comics think you're funny.
But I don't even think that's to do with other comics. I think that was a more like self thing.
That
I
was
think
a self thing. Yeah.
It's like he took that upon himself and he was like, oh, I'm only like people, women only like me. I only have this audience because of my looks. Which like, first off, he's also not that cute too.
Like, be like, oh, I get by with my looks. Like, no.
It's a kind of women cougar audience. So he looks cute and to cougars.
Oh, like he looks young.
But he also is played into the fact that he likes older women and like hits on older women all the time. So he also was like playing into that. And it's just like, it's one of those things where you have an audience that likes you, that appreciates you, that like, but it, you're unhappy because you have the wrong audience, an audience that actually likes you and respects you, and you're unhappy with them because you wanted the specific other audience, because you wanted the approval of like white straight males, like, and you're upset that women like you. So it was more so that.
I think my hot take is he had a good amount of success in touring. I think he shouldn't have gone on Netflix.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And this was the whole other thing about it is it's like in his special. So he had two specials on YouTube, full length, hour length specials that he produced himself. Like he paid money like to do it.
They were successful.
They were so successful. And he, in those specials, and like he was talking about, yeah, like Netflix didn't want it, so I'm just going to do it myself. I'm going to do it here. Da 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 da. Like it's for you, it's for the fans. And then, like, the moment he gets his chance at Netflix, which is something that he'd been wanting for years, the moment he does that, he just decides to alienate his entire female audience and honestly, like, crush his success.
Yeah.
But he was...
It's very sad.
It was what you were saying. He was reaching for another audience.
Yeah.
Because he wanted another audience.
He wanted approval.
Like, I'm going to burn this bridge to try to get it. And that's why... And this is why I say he shouldn't have done Netflix.
He shouldn't have.
I don't... Like, I can't say... Like, I mean, to be at that peak of success, to try to hit, like, another level, I can't say that necessarily I would have not tried to do what he did.
What do you mean?
But if he... Well, like... to change my audience. If I was in his position and all I got was basically just like my whole audience was just a bunch of MILFs that wanted to see me do crowd work. I don't know if I wouldn't have wanted to do what he did. Because a part of me is just like, I can't necessarily blame him for trying. Wissy really did want to break out and try and like to receive the type of audience that other comedians on Netflix have successfully granted. That being said, other people on Netflix that successfully have grown their audience have had other audiences that were more or less like regular comedy, like I don't want to say regular, but comedy fans that were not as different as like cougars. Like there were people looking for comedy, not people looking for that, like a young guy that might burn them.
But so, I don't even think his like full fan base was just cougars. It was just his problem was that it was predominantly women.
Yeah.
And like that women found him funny. Right. Or women found him cute.
Which but that's what I'm saying. It's not like it's because it's like he's bringing women into Netflix. Not that women don't watch Netflix, but like other comedians have had more of a general audience that has supported them. Not so narrow as
I think it's fine to try to like broaden your audience. Like that's fine. But I think just the way he did it, it was just so alienating.
Yeah, it was like destroying your previous audience.
Yeah, it was really bad. I don't think it's literally the only reason that you're popular is because of your fans, not because you do something great. Like there are a bunch of musicians that are amazing that don't have any kind of audience. And like they're a lot better than the popular like musicians that we have now. Well, not all of them, but you know what I mean. So it's just like you gotta like be with your audience.
He was not humble.
Literally everything you do is for them because they're the ones that make you. So
I'm gonna get more Prosecco. I'll be right back.
Do you know who else needs Prosecco?
Who?
Adam Driver.
Nice.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed our 50th episode. Bye. Our
boozy 50th episode. Brum, 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 brum.